let's turn one last time to number 395. 395. In my heart there rings a melody. Amen? I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for He washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know it's here to stay. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be the song with glorious harmony, when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. Amen. At this time, Brother Mike's going to come and read our scripture.
If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We'll be reading verses 24 through 30.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get it right after this.
Matthew chapter 13. Again, starting with verse 24 and reading through 30, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, did thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say unto the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.
Amen. Go ahead.
Thank you.
it's good to be home. You have no idea. We had quite the week last week, but it's so good to be home. So, well, Brother Mike, he read Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. And the title of this morning's message is Things Are Not As They Seem. You want to turn me down just a little bit, Brother Mike? I'm listening to myself. I don't want to hear myself preach. But things are not as they seem. That's the title of this morning's message. And, you know, we live in a day of false perceptions. Things which seem to be the same are different. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you for your love, and thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray, Lord, that you'd take and speak to the hearts of those who are here today, that they might get much out of this message. I want to be a help to them today. And I just pray that you might take and speak through me to them. And we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, you may have two cars. Both of them have four wheels. Both of them have a motor. Both of them may have two doors. All of them have the same steering wheel. They may have the same shifting lever. They even may be two Chevys. But you know what? Those cars can be definitely different, can't they? One can be a Corvette, and the other one can be a station wagon or a SUV nowadays. You know, have you ever looked at cereal? You can have two cereals that are both made out of bran, right? One of them can be all bran, the other one can be raisin bran. Even though they're both made out of bran, they're different. They're different cereals. You know, many times in life, this is what happens. Well, you know, what about dogs? You know, I was looking at Max the other night, and I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of dogs in the world, right? They all have four legs, they all have a nose, they all have a bark. You know, many of them have a different bark than other bark. But, you know, they all have the one thing in common is that they're a dog, but they're different. The dogs are different. One can be a Great Dane, one can be a Chihuahua. But they all have the same characteristics, but they're different. You know, what about houses? You know, have you ever looked at these cookie-cutter houses? You know what I mean? You go into a housing development, and all the houses look the same, don't they? You know, I'll tell you what. Sometimes I look at these houses, I'm going, how does anybody know where they live? You know, I could never find my house because all the houses look the same. But you know what? You get inside, they might have a different floor plan. The houses look the same, but they're different. You know, you can have two churches in the same town. Both of them are Baptist churches. You know, both of them have white buildings. Both of them have older pastors. Both of them have food banks. Both of them may have schools. But they could be different. One can preach salvation, the other one may not. Today, it doesn't make any difference what church you are. You could be different. You can have two people sitting in the chairs in this church. You can have the same two people come to Sunday school. They both are dressed in their Sunday clothes, singing the same hymns, both putting on the same amount in the offering plate, and they both look the same. However, one may be saved and the other one not. You know, you can have a set of twins, identical twins, and yet they're different. They're different in their personalities. They can be different in what they like, their differences in things that they do. You know, have you ever baked something? I do this once in a while. And you go to take the baking powder, and you take out a teaspoon, and you put it in the bowl, only to realize it was baking soda? Have you ever done that? I have. You know, I'll be honest with you, it never turns out. But, you know, there's an awful lot of similarities with baking powder and baking soda. They're both white. You know what I mean? They're both fine. And it's hard to tell the two apart. But they're different. You know, so many times we have things that seem to be the same, but they're different. You know, in the scripture that we read this morning, we see this very thing happening. You know, I want to show you why this happens and what we need to do to keep it from happening in our own lives. You know, in the scripture that Brother Mike read in Matthew chapter 13, there was good seed that was sowed. Verse 24 says, another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Here was a man who went and bought good seed. He went out and he spent a lot of money to buy good seed. Seed that would bring forth a lot of fruit or a good harvest. Here was a man that toiled. He probably plowed the field. He probably disked the field. He probably dragged the field. He had his servants go out and spread all of the seed just how it needed to be seeded. He did everything in his power to have a good crop. More than likely, he had irrigation. He had the irrigation all running. No doubt, he worked the ground just like he did every other year. You know, here we see that he did everything that he needed to do to have a bountiful crop. This certain man toiled getting everything ready and planted. When we were in Wisconsin, it was planting season. My son-in-law, every morning he'd get up, get on the tractor, take off, go out to the fields with a chisel plow. He'd chisel plow. Came back in, he'd get a leveler, go out and level. Then he'd go out and he'd drag it. And then after he got done dragging, he took a roller and he'd roll it all down. After he had the field all done, they came in and they planted it. But listen, there was a lot of preparation that had to go in to getting this seed in the ground. A lot of toil, a lot of effort. How many of you plant gardens? Do you just take and spread the seed out? What do you do, Susan? Huh? How do you plant the garden? Okay, you got to hoe it first, or you got to take and dig it up first, don't you? And you have to level it out, yeah? And then you have to put the seed in. Then you have to water it, especially here in Arizona. You got to put a lot of water on it, yeah? And you're hoping that you have a good crop of whatever you planted. You know, it says, then the enemy came. In verse 25 it says, but while the men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You know, this guy must not have been very well liked. You know what I mean? He had enemies. We don't have enemies, do we? No. There's nobody that has any enemies in church, do they? You know, we don't have enemies, do we? I think all of us have people that may not like us just the best. Now, I know Alexis, since she's out of high school, you know, she has all friends, no enemies. Right, Alexis? You know, what we need to realize is that this guy may have tried to share the plan of salvation with his neighbors, and they didn't like it too well. He maybe went door knocking, and guess what? They didn't like what he said. You know, they were so angry that they went out at night while they were sleeping and sowed quack grass into the field. Now, how many of you know what quack grass is? Those of you from the Midwest know what quack grass is. In fact, you know, all you have to do is come to my house and you will know what quack grass is. My wife had a plant in Wisconsin. It was one of these spider plants. And she brought it from Wisconsin down here. Well, so it died. So she took the dirt and she put it in the flower bed in front. Unbeknown to us, it had quack grass in it. We have been trying to kill this quack grass for 15 years. I have taken straight Roundup and spread it on there, and it will not die. Now, here this enemy came in and he sowed these tares in this field. You know, this farmer had no idea that his enemy had sowed this bad seed in the same field that he had worked so hard at getting a crop out of. He had no idea. None. Not a bit. He didn't know that he came in there. He didn't know that he had sowed this bad seed in there. This farmer had went to bed and slept thinking that his crop was all planted with good seed and nothing could go wrong. After all, he had planted good seed. Nothing could go wrong, right? Wrong. You know, it's amazing of how all of a sudden something comes up and weeds usually come up along with it. Have you ever noticed that? And then you have to go out and you have to hoe it and get all the weeds out of it and everything else. Well, you know, this man let his guard down. He let his guard down because he didn't feel anything could go wrong. After all, what had he done? He had prepared the ground just the way it should be. He had prepared everything the way it should be done. You know, many times in our families, don't we do that? We prepare everything in our family for the, what? Future. Right? And we think, you know what? Everything's going. I've got my 401k right where it needs to be. I have my pension plan all set up right where it needs to be. I have everything right in line of what I need for retirement. And then a recession hits. Everything's gone. You know, what we need to realize is this. Many times, things are not as they seem to be. You know, in verse 26 it says, but when the blade was sprung up. Now, I want to stop there for just a minute. When the blades, speaking of the leaves, sprung up out of the earth. When they came up, do you know that there was absolutely no difference between what he had planted and the tares? None. There was no difference between what his enemy had planted and what he had planted. He could not tell the difference between them. That's what it says. It says when the leaves came up, they sprang up, they all looked the same. Everything in his field looked the same. It was turning green. All of the leaves were coming out of the ground. He's going, wow, look at the good crop I'm having. Right? Isn't that the way we are many times with our families too? We say, oh man, look at my kids are just so great. You know, one morning we were up my daughter's wife. It was my morning to make breakfast, and there was a chocolate cake sitting there. And I said, "Okay, kids, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have chocolate cake for breakfast." And they go, "Grandpa is great. He gave us chocolate cake." Listen. Well, we need to realize, you know, there's nothing wrong with eating chocolate cake for breakfast, is there? After all, it's got eggs in it, it's got milk in it, it has flour in it, it has all the major food groups, amen? But, you know, so many times we plant things, we water them, and we see them come up thinking that everything is going great. But look at the rest of that verse. It says, then, and brought up, let's read it again. It says, but when the blade was sprung up, they all looked the same, and brought forth what? Fruit. Then appeared the tares also. Now, all of a sudden, here are all the leaves coming up. Everything looks the same. But when the fruit came, the tares had no fruit. The tares had no fruit. There was nothing there. All of the work that he had done, all of the toil he had done, all the watering he had done, guess what? He had his fruit, but he also had weeds. He also had weeds. You know, notice here is that it wasn't until the fruit was there that he noticed the tares. You know, I feel that the plant was just starting to bud, and the grain was just starting to come out of and be formed on the plant. And then it was noticed these nasty, nasty weeds also. You know, when the plants were first coming up, the ground was fertile, and all the leaves were coming up, the plants were coming up, and I don't believe that he saw a big difference. You know, as we were in Wisconsin, the corn was just starting to come up of the corn that they had planted, and it was up about this high. Well, you know what? There was weeds in them cornfields also, and it was hard to tell the difference. The only way you could tell the difference between the weeds and the corn was the corn were in rows and the weeds weren't. The weeds were all over. I said to my brother-in-law, I said to my son-in-law, well, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to go spray it. He's next week, he says, I'm going to spray that field, and he says, all the weeds will be gone. I said, well, what about the corn? He says, the corn will be fine. He says, the herbicide I'm going to use will just kill the weeds, but it won't kill the corn. I don't know why this guy didn't think of that, but anyway, maybe they didn't have it back then. But you know, when the plants were first coming out of the ground, they all looked the same. There's no difference between them. But as soon as that fruit came out, I believe this guy had wheat. I really do. Have you ever seen a wheat field? You know, one of the girls in our school, Emma, her dad has a farm down by La Plama. And they planted wheat, a wheat field. And I'd drive by it, and the wheat was coming out and coming out and coming out. And you know what? You couldn't tell there was any weeds in there, but there was. There was weeds in that field, but you could not tell that there was weeds there because it was growing amongst them. But as soon as that wheat headed out and got the little grains starting to grow on it, you could see the weeds in that field. And you know what? I believe that's the same thing that happened with this guy. You know, he thought everything was going great. Everything was going according to plan. Then all of a sudden, guess what? There were the weeds. You know, I can remember when we used to have a garden. You know, we would always put a package of whatever we planted at the end of the row. Did you ever do that? You know what I mean? And you know what inevitably happened? My kids were little at that time, and they would switch the packages. And I'm going, wait a minute, I think I put corn in here. And here beans came up. You know what I mean? I mean, my kids were nasty. They were terrible. But anyway, but what we need to realize is that things are not always the way they seem to be. You know, it's important to see here that the tares did not bring forth any fruit. You know, when things are not as they seem to be, sooner or later, they're going to be found out. Sooner or later, whatever's bad is going to be found out. A person cannot act and live the Christian life very long if they're not a Christian. You know, they can come into church all they want. They can dress all they want in their Sunday clothes. But when they go through those doors out into the community, how do they act? You know, they're much like the tares who Satan plants in churches to look like everybody else, however they're different. You know, you can have a round fruit, and you can look at it, and it can be an orange color. And what do you think it is? An orange, right? We have a tree in our backyard that gives round fruit, and it's a lemon tree. It's a lemon tree. It's unbelievable. It cross-pollinates with my orange tree, and the fruit is orange, but they are lemons. I mean, listen, things are not as they appear many times to be. The first time I peeled one of them, I thought, boy, this is going to be good. Orange. You know what I mean? But it sure made good lemonade. You know, what we need to realize is that we can have things look right and they're not. You know, things in people's lives are not as they seem to be. You know, we see the Sunday smile, we hear the Sunday language, we see the Sunday dress. However, we may be being deceived into thinking things are just as we are when they are different. When they're different. You know, as we go down through here, in verse 28 it says, the servants wanted to purge the field. He says, and he said unto them, an enemy that hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Now, these servants, when they had found out what had happened, became very angry. They became so angry that they were willing to go out into that field and tear out all those tares. Have you ever weeded a garden by pulling out weeds that are close to whatever you planted? What happens? You pull them both out, don't you? I mean, so here, the farmer, he says, well, hey, he says, no. He says, we're not going to do that. They wanted to go out and they wanted to rip them tares out right now. You know, they had been deceived. They were ridiculed. They were hurt. And now it was their turn to take revenge on them dirty, rotten tares. Amen? Get them. Get the tares. You know, they wanted to hurt something so bad they didn't care what happened to the crop. You know, they said to the farmer, why don't you let me go out and take care of these? Why don't you let me go out and rip them out? We'll show our enemies. Right? They wanted to have revenge. They wanted to show they were better than what their enemies were. You know, why don't you... But what did the farmer say? Don't do it. Because if you do, you're going to get the good stuff too. Then we're not going to have a crop at all. Just let it grow. They crept into the church. Now they're doing sin all over town, hurting the testimony of themselves and the church. That happens so many times in churches today. But you know, the farmer was very wise. In verse 30, he said, let them both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my what?
Barn.
You know, he looks at me and says, hey, don't sweat it. Don't sweat the little things. Just let them grow together. Let them continue to be united together. Because I will take care of them. He says, yeah, when harvest time comes, we're going to know what the tares are. we're going to be able to take them and keep them separate from the wheat, and we're going to be able to take the wheat and put it in the barns, and we're going to take and be able to burn the tares up. You know, when things are not what they seem to be, we need to pray about it and let God handle the situation instead of us ourselves handling it. Amen? You know, each of us, including this preacher, when things are not what they seem to be, have a earnest desire to go and take care of the situation ourselves, don't we? You know, however we may be only embedding the enemy. And Satan is trying his hardest to get us to stumble up. This last week I had a long discussion with my son-in-law. My daughter and my son-in-law decided that they didn't want to live the Christian life anymore. They went back to the Catholic Church. And every room in the house, you couldn't miss it. Him and I had a long talk. Now, I didn't bring up the conversation. I let him. And he just let me have it. I just sat there and listened. Never said a word. Finally, I said to him, I said, you know what? That's your opinion. And if you can prove what you're saying by the Bible, I'll listen. But otherwise, I won't. The next day, I said to her, what's the difference between what you believe and what we believe? And she knows what we believe. She knows that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And she started bringing all this up. The only thing I said to her was this. Prove it. That's all I said. I said, prove it. For the next 2.5 hours, she was trying to prove a statement that she made by the Bible. And this was a statement that she made. She said, Mary was a perfect person. That's why they prayed to her instead of the Lord. She was sinless. No sin. I said to her, I said, prove it to me. Her and my granddaughter sat in their bedroom for 2.5 hours going through all of their catechism books, going through all of their other books, and they could not find it. They couldn't find it. It was lost. Yeah. Well, see, she was a virgin. That's all she was. There were a lot of virgins at that time. But the only thing different between her and everybody else was she was in the direct line of David and was in the direct line of Adam and Eve. She was in the pure line all the way through. That's the only difference. Now, if you take any look at that, I said, now prove it to me that she was sinless. They could not prove it. So I said to her before I left, I said, I want you to take 50 things that you believe in, and I want you to prove them by the Bible. If you can't prove them, they're not true. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, let's take a look at the virgin birth. I said, you can prove that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Virgin birth. No problem. Death, burial, resurrection of Christ. You can prove that. No problem. Try proving that it's right to go to a priest and confess your sins. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that we have an advocate with the Father, who? Jesus Christ. Listen, when we got there, things were not the way they appeared to be. Things were not the way we had thought they were going to be. And that's the way it is so many times in our Christian lives, is things are not the way they seem. You know, we can look at the parable as a soul-winning parable too. You know, the workers, meaning soul winners, sow the gospel. Satan comes along and sows false gospels, and the saved and the unsaved grow together in the same world. And when the Lord comes back to gather, guess what? He's going to separate them. The tares are going to be burned. And the good fruit is going to go to heaven. There's going to be a difference. There's going to be a difference in what's happening. You know, we don't know who's saved and who's not saved, but we know that the Lord does. You know, in this parable, the good seed produced like fruit. Amen? Isn't that what we're supposed to do, is produce like fruit? The tares produced what? Nothing. The tares had absolutely nothing. Listen, things are not as they seem. How's your fruit doing? How's your fruit doing? Do you have any fruit? Or are you part of the tares? Think about it. Matthew chapter 25, verses 32 and 34 says this: "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Listen, there's going to be a separation someday. God's going to say, you know what? Good boys, bad boys. And he's going to separate. Listen, what was the difference? What's the difference between the separation? Those who know the Lord and those who do not. What was the difference with the grain? Some gave good fruit, some were tares. Where are we today? Are we giving fruit? Are we doing things for the Lord? Are we seeing the things that we do prosper? Or are we just spinning our wheels, not seeing anything done for the honor and glory of God? What about you today? Are you wheat or tares? Are you sheep or goats? Are the things that you do as they seem to be living a life that's honoring, pleasing, glorying to God? Or are you living a life that you're not seeing anything accomplished at all? You know, this last week was an eye-opener. In that last Sunday, they wanted me to go to the Catholic Church with them. And I said, no. We're the Baptist Church. My son-in-law, he got really mad because we didn't go to the Catholic Church with him. He said, I don't know why you didn't go to the Catholic Church. I said to him, let me ask you something. If your priest came to Florence, would he come to my Baptist church or would he go to the Catholic church? He said, well, he'd go to the Catholic church. I said, why? Well, he's a Catholic priest. I said, look at me as a Baptist priest. Not a preacher, priest. I said, am I going to go to a Catholic church or am I going to go to a Baptist church? Amen? Shut him up. I don't know why. I know. You know, just because I don't have a crucifix hanging around my neck that holds me down to the ground, I mean, you know. Listen, what we need to realize is this, is that all of us are either wheat or we're tares. Either we're doing something for the Lord or we're not. Let me ask you one question, and I'm going to quit. Where are your convictions at? What are you convicted about? Are you convicted enough about living a life that's honoring and glorying to God? Or will you compromise and do what everybody else does? You know, it would have been real easy for me to keep peace in the family and said, okay, I'll go to the Catholic Church with you today. I could have compromised, but I didn't. And the reason I didn't is because of my convictions. You know, I know they got mad at me, and I'll probably never be able to laugh back, but, you know, that's life. And what we need to realize is this, is that God wants us to live our lives honoring, pleasing, and glorifying to Him and Him alone. Because one day, when all of this is separated, and we're on the right-hand side of Him, and He says, go to the place that I prepared for you. And I can hardly wait to see my mansion. Amen? And the ones over there, they're going to be bound up, and they're going to be what? Burned. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad I'm on this side. Where are you today? Where are you? Let's pray. Father,